You want me to pull out my thing?
This is a PG 18, 16 podcast.
NC 17.
You can listen to it no matter what age you are. I think.
This is episode 12 of the Guardian Project podcast. I'm your host, Andy Flory, and I am the belle of the brawl.
Oh, that's so relevant.
New card spoiled today.
Wow. I love it. And this is Mike Coyle. And just like Kirk, I have daddy issues that are easily solved with Phyrexian mana.
Please listen carefully.
And this is the podcast where we talk about all things Magic the Gathering. Before we start, we want to thank our listeners. We wouldn't be here without you. We appreciate all of the feedback we're getting and for the topics that were sent along to us to discuss today. So we are going to talk about specifically Budget Commander, which came from a Twitter request.
Thank you for that request.
So what else is on, well, what all is on the agenda today?
So the whole agenda today, first off, we're going to talk about this last week in Modern specifically, the SCG Dallas that happened. We're going to talk about our budget commanders, commander decks that we made, and then maybe some future commander decks. And we're going to talk about the Throne of Eldraine spoilers that started today, along with a lot of other spoilers.
So much more as well.
And then we have a nice fun segment that we're going to do a little bit after that.
Called?
It's budget, not budget. No. It's commander decks explained poorly.
Badly.
I don't know which one's proper English.
I don't know if it's badly. I don't even know if it's badly. It's just commander decks explained in a way that we hope you are able to guess which commander we're talking about.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
So the first item is a Modern recap. So SCG Dallas happened and Hogak's not in the format anymore. What are we seeing?
So SCG Dallas had two different Modern events. They had the Modern Open and the Modern Classic. And honestly, I had no idea what the difference between the two was, so I had to look it up. The Modern Open is a two-day event and the Modern Classic is a one-day event. So it's basically just how many matches are played. So in the Modern Open, you're going to see the decks that are more consistent and win more. The winner of the Modern Open was Wurza.
Okay.
We kind of knew that was going to happen. It's a deck that didn't get hit by Faithless Looting Ban, didn't get hit by Hogak Ban. It was already doing strong in the pre-Hogak meta. So
doing strong.
But we did see three burn decks make the top eight, which is kind of unheard of, except for immediately post bannings when no one knows what to play.
Sounds like standard.
Yeah. One interesting deck that made it was a Rakdos midrange deck. It was kind of a meta deck that no one saw coming.
Not 8-Ball?
It's not 8-Ball.
Okay.
Yeah, 8-Ball got hurt real bad by the Faithless Looting Ban. So I just wanted to go into the deck a little bit just to show you know, what kind of things are doing well, especially right after a post-ban.
Show me what you're working with.
So a lot of people have been saying that with the new London Mulligan rule, people are more willing to go down to five cards or four cards, and that Hand Disruption is doing super, super well.
Okay.
So this deck plays a ton of cantrips, Thought Seizes, Inquisitions.
I hate it.
And then it also runs Dreadhorde Arcanist to recast those cards. It runs the new three-drop Chandra to also recast those cards from your graveyard.
People minus two her. They don't just zero make elementals and swing.
He's playing it as a main board, so I doubt it, but maybe. But he's also playing Seasoned Pyromancer, so it could just be like a weird Pyromancer build.
Okay.
But then also main deck Culligan's Command, because it trounces Stoneforge. If you ever see Stoneforge, just play Culligan's Command, you win.
Are there artifacts where... Did Stoneforge hit the top? That's a question.
Stoneforge was not in the top eight of the Open. I believe it did make the top eight of the Classic. So we saw Wurza, three burns, a Titan Shift, a Grixis Death Shadow, not a Mardu Death Shadow like I thought was going to do it, a Tron, and then this Rakdos midrange deck.
Okay.
Now, the deck I really want to talk about is the winner of the Modern Classic at SCG Dallas, which is... Dredge won without Faithless Looting, and that's why I wanted to talk about this deck so badly. There's only one card that's different, and now plays a card called Tome Scour. What's Tome Scour do? You know?
No.
You ever heard of that card before?
I've heard of it.
Okay.
What does it do?
Sorcery speed, one blue, mill five.
What set is it from?
I don't know. I didn't look that up.
Okay.
We can look it up.
It was printed in 10, 11, and 14. Core set card only.
As someone who started playing Magic in 2017, I had no idea what this card was. But it's really nice to see that there are some graveyard decks that are still doing well. Obviously, this was not in the more competitive of the two tournaments, but it's nice to see Dredge win. And that is the Modern recap.
Perfect. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing Stoneforge in the future. I don't know if you saw, but Jerry Thompson wrote an article on 30 Stoneforge Mystic decks that play in Modern. On Star City Games, he wrote an article on 30 Stoneforge Mystic brews for SCG Dallas and beyond. So go check it out. Next on the agenda, we're talking about budget commander decks. So let's talk a bit about why we did that. So really, in our play group, we have a lot of combo decks. We try to optimize our decks for the most part. And so we wanted to play a little bit more powered down.
Yep.
Games last a little longer. We can see commanders that don't particularly make the cut or ones that we wanted to play around with but just aren't that strong. I say that with some exceptions, except for one of them. Because we just built a budget.
Yep.
And so we watched the Commander's Quarters. Great, great channel. Go watch his content on YouTube. Become a patron. I'm a patron. I love the stuff he puts out, but his decks are made with a $25 budget or less at the time of him building the deck.
Not including the commander,
but most of the time it does include the commander. He has commander excluded, and then he also has Breaking the Bank episodes as well. And then sometimes he'll just do upgrades of ones from the past. So we decided to include the commander with a $25 budget, and we have a group of five of us, so we just decided to each pick a deck. Build it on Archidect, and then we would just share the price alone and mm-hmm. who the commander was. Mm-hmm. And then we actually recorded that. We're working on editing that right now, and that will be posted
probably this week.
This week?
I can probably get it done by this weekend at least. Okay. Let's say this weekend.
Well, we'll tweet out a link to that video probably on my Twitter and on the podcast's page as well. So you can go check that out. But so it was nice because it was kind of like refreshing to play a less powerful format. And so the deck that I had built originally, so some of us built multiple.
Yes.
I only built one in the beginning. And so I know I've mentioned it before, but I've been trying to make a commander for each of the guilds of Ravnica. And I think I have two left now. I have to build one for Gruul and one for Selesnya. I haven't picked the commander that I want for those yet. But
you built your Dimir one already?
Oh, I have to build Dimir. Shoot. Okay, mm-hmm. I have three left. I picked that one, though. Yeah, at least I know I'm making Lazav the Multifarious.
And I won't give you my foil.
And I don't know why, because you don't even like foils.
I want to play it. It's my only copy I have.
Coil doesn't like foils.
I hate foils.
So I built Jerahd, Golgari Lichlord. And so I built it with a $25 budget. And I had one combo in it, which was Wall of Blood. So you can pay one life, give Wall of Blood +1/+1. And then Jerahd itself has, you can pay three, one black and a green, sack another creature. Each opponent loses life equal to that creature's power. So Wall of Blood costs just one and a black. You pay one life until it's above whatever your opponents have life-wise. And then you sacrifice it and they just die instantly. That's the only combo card that I really had in there. There's other ones that you can play. They were just out of the budget, which is kind of nice because mm-hmm. then I didn't find myself playing Entomb to throw stuff and then reanimating stuff and then just sacking it for infinite mana. I got to play a lot of other cards that had Undergrowth, really great from the Guilds of Ravnica sets, Ravnica Allegiance. The most recent Ravnica sets actually provided a lot of value for Jerahd.
For sure.
So that was what I did was I played big things and hoped to sacrifice them so my opponents would die before me. So, that's what I built.
So what was the biggest difficulty? Like what was your roadblock for that deck?
We played against someone who played Maryland and I had to tutor every single turn and didn't get to really draw as much as I needed to. Mm-hmm, and that was my roadblock. I wish I had kept a hand of seven lands, because then I could just tutored for the card I needed on each turn. Mm-hmm. It was funny. You'll see on that game, but we had someone who ended up starting, I believe the game was six lands in hand. So they're like, cool, I'm going to tutor every turn. I'm glad I kept six lands mm-hmm. because I get to get what I need at the right time. It was a little slow, I think. We had someone who was playing...
Marilyn of the Mournsong.
But the red one.
Oh, that was Valduk.
Valduk. And that card just kind of got out of hand a little quickly.
It sure did.
I couldn't keep up with that. I ended up coming in third.
Yes.
We played a game, a five man. Mm-hmm. I ended up coming in third only because at the end I was like, I have to...
He killed me even though I wasn't doing anything at the end. No, that's not true. I was trying to control the board.
It was going to be one of us, I feel. We were dying within the next turn either mm-hmm. way. So that was the deck that I built. And then Nick, I know he built Mono Blue Nezahal.
That's a good deck.
It has a card called Dragon Wings. Mm-hmm. So Nezahal itself, you can discard three cards and basically exile Nezahal to another turn and bring it back. So as long as you're drawing a bunch of cards, you can keep it alive and you don't have to worry about targeted removal. But Dragon Wings is an enchantment that... says whenever a creature comes into play, if it has power greater than
I think five,
I don't know, something like that, you automatically put Dragon Wings on it and it gives the creature flying.
And that's from your graveyard.
From your graveyard. Yeah. So you just discard a bunch of stuff and just keep bringing Nezahal back and the Dragon Wings give it flying. And it's just a bunch. It has to swing for commander damage, which was nice seeing a mono blue deck swing with commander damage
yeah.
and just bounce stuff and be overall... overall irritating, sure, but yeah. but it was a fun deck.
For sure. Speaking of which, my deck did something similar, was supposed to do something similar.
Which one? So you built two.
So I built two. The one that I played in the video that we're going to post is Eryximithes, the Slumbering Isle, who's 12-12.
The first land you have to cast in all of the game.
It's true. You cast this land. No question about it. but he's a 12-12... Leviathan? He's a Leviathan or an octopus. He's not an octopus, but he's one of those sea creatures that doesn't get bounced with Whelming Wave, which was great because I cast Whelming Wave during that game. And
what are your win cons?
So I have some degenerate combos that I was able to put in there. It's a Kraken. So since Eryximithes himself taps for green and a blue, I played two enchantments that make it so that you can untap enchanted creature for a blue, so I can produce infinite green mana and then play infinite green spells. One of them is Pelham's Aura, and the other one is Freed from the Reel. Most people probably know Freed from the Reel. But Pelham's Aura also has some added things where you can make...
Wait, what is it? Isn't it Pemmons?
Pemmons Aura?
Pemmons.
Pemmons Aura. Pemmons Aura has a few extra abilities other than being able to tap and untap. You can make the creature flying, and then you can give the creature +1/-1 or -1/+1. So I can make him flying and swing at someone and then make him 21 power.
But mostly relevant is the infinite mana there.
Yeah.
Pump into, you have a few things that you can pump the mana into to make
yes.
giant things.
So I let Andy play my deck once, and he was able to do a Hydra Broodmaster. Broodlord? Hydra Broodlord? Hydra Broodmother? Ryan, what's the card? Hydra...
Yeah, producer Ryan, you know what this card is, right? It's Broodmaster. Hydra Broodmaster.
Broodmaster for sure.
He was going to say it was Broodmaster. Yeah. See, he knew it. He knew it. Tip of his tongue, he knew it.
And was able to pump infinite green mana into it to make...
1 million.
which is confusing.
But I figured you weren't playing a deck that had red, so I wasn't going to get got by a Rakdos Charm.
No, I did bounce all of those tokens to non-existence, and then you swung at me with a 12-12.
Which I'd already hit him with the Eryximithes, so I won with commander damage. He was like, oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it happens.
Yeah. So I wasn't able to do a whole lot that game other than, like, I controlled the board a few times. It made the game go a little bit longer.
It's funny, though, because I'm looking at it now. I mean, we built these decks we probably built them a month ago. We just mm-hmm. played about a week ago.
Two weeks ago.
Then we built these over a month ago. Then.
Yeah, yeah.
It took us a long time. But I'm looking right now, and Eryximithes alone is almost a $5 card.
Yeah, I think he was when I built it. And
yeah.
And then Pemmons Aura was like almost $2.
So that was like $7 of your $25 budget in two cards.
Everything else was 10-cent Leviathans. and Quest for Ula's Temple, which I got. I won't spoil it.
Sure. I was happy to add, at least into my Jared deck, I think the most expensive deck was Sepulchral Primordial.
Yeah.
And I think I was also able to squeeze in a Lord of Extinction last minute because a card had plummeted in price.
Oh, yeah.
And so, not that card, but a different one that had given me just like the extra $1.20 that I needed to make it into the deck, lock it in and take my screenshot and say, I did it, guys. I did it. Here you go.
So the other deck that I built was Yarik. And Yarik's really expensive now, especially, well, when we're talking about a $25 budget. At the time that I built it, Yarik was $10. So I had to build the 99 with $15. And that was really hard. I ended up doing it by playing 45 lands in that deck.
Yeah.
I made it a lands matter deck, and that actually helps out a lot. It was very Sultai control, and it does do well. I mm-hmm. like that deck a lot. I don't know if I'll even actually upgrade it. I think it's kind of cool to just have like a budget deck. It's not super powerful. You can take it out with anyone who's playing a pre-con or something and do okay against it.
Right. I upgraded Jerahd.
Mm-hmm.
It was a deck that I wanted to build anyway before, but it was kind of nice to start with the $25. And then over time you can just add a card here or there,
yeah.
which is, I think, how a lot of people build decks,
for
which
sure.
which is nice. Cause you can start with a pre-con and change out like 10 cards. And then, you know, in a couple months you're like, all right, I'm going to add these three. And then eventually you will have switched out a lot of your cards,
yeah.
or found that you like some of them, just the interactions. And then,
and the first card you mill when you play the new Jerahd is Sylvan Library. You're like, yes, got it.
So the reason you said that is because I went to the store. I needed to pick up like two cards for a different deck. And the store that I went to had a $5 minimum, no, a $10 minimum for a credit card. Just that it's a very small shop. It's just a requirement. So
support your local game stores,
please. And so I went in there and I said, well, I need to buy something. So I bought a pack of Eternal Masters. I was like, and they have a foil. There's some stuff in there that I might want. And so I got two cards. I think they were like $3 like total. And then I bought a pack of Eternal Masters and I opened a Sylvan Library. So I was really excited about mm-hmm. that because I usually don't do well when I open loose packs. So that felt really nice.
Yeah.
And so when I said, guys, I updated my my Jerahd deck.
Coil with about $50 worth of cards.
He texted me, he was like, was Sylvan Library one of them? I was like, sure was.
Yeah.
It's just really good and gives you that draw that I needed. That wouldn't have mattered in Maryland.
That's
well,
true,
no, is that just the first card?
You draw you cannot draw cards with Maryland out. And Sylvan Library says, draw three, then put two back or pay 8 life. Really, it should just read pay 8 life, draw 3 cards at your draw step, because that's what
right.
you're going
to do. Yeah, no, so that wouldn't have even worked with Maryland out anyway.
Correct.
So, but it wasn't in there because I didn't have that card until just the other day. Were there any other budget decks that we had built before?
With the $25 rule, no, I don't
think
was.
That
there
the
was.
Only budget deck that the Maryland player...
So the Maryland player also built a budget Xantcha.
Oh, yeah,
deck,
yeah, yeah.
Which is cool. So normally Xantcha is a very competitive deck if you see it, because it'll be able to produce infinite mana and kill whoever they want on any turn that they want. This one doesn't. This one just tries to pit your opponents against each other.
And it did.
It sure did.
I was given Xantcha the first time and I swung at my opponents and they were not thrilled at me, but I had
Why
to.
Are you swinging at me?
Yeah, I was like, I'm so sorry, you didn't have any blockers open, okay? I just needed to get through, I guess. Didn't win that. No, I did win that game.
Did you win that game?
I'm pretty sure I won. No.
No, I think I won that game. I want to say I did.
What did you play?
Was
that
I
game?
Playing Send Triplets? I won with Send Triplets in one game.
No,
I was
during the budget
Scorpion
deck.
God. I was playing Scorpion God. You were playing your new Goad deck.
That when he was playing his budget deck against non-budget
Xantcha.
Decks. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
So that we're a bit off topic at this point.
Yeah.
But,
sorry.
But Xantcha is a fun budget deck
yeah.
as well. So we're doing it again. I'm excited to build another deck. It's kind of nice to put together a deck that you've been wanting to for a long time with the lower powered cards. So we were going to throw out, I think all of us were going to put together like two of them, and then we were going to put it online and actually have you guys vote on which ones you'd like to see us build. And then we'll play again. The plan is, to record, you can find us on Twitch. We will, you know, we'll release the link like we did last time.
Yep.
Last time we played, it was a charity stream for, Troy Beaumont Children's Hospital. It was raising money for cancer research.
Yep.
So we'll do it again the next time. So you can come check that out and hang out with us. Again, I think we played, we played for like 8 hours that day.
We did.
But it wasn't budget decks the whole time.
No.
But we did get a lot of people come on later in the evening when people started signing on. I think we started at like 3:30.
We started at 3:30 and we went until like 3 a.m. But we took a couple of breaks here and there.
Yeah, we had dinner and stuff. Yep. And so that was fun. So we're gonna do it again. So you'll see some stuff on Twitter.
So please tweet at @ATFlory. Mm-hmm. Suggestions for budget commanders, keeping in mind
$25
and including the commander.
So, and we're not going to do like a $25 you know, Kalia of the Vast deck.
I'm not going to play Kyrick and 99 Wastes, even though
you can pull. But why would you?
Because he's Phyrexian mana. Always use a Phyrexian mana.
You have to swing with commander damage and no support.
Correct. You can't even put +1/+1s on him. It's a 2/2 lifelink. Good luck.
That's terrible. yeah, so you'll see some stuff from us soon about that. And we'll probably put those together and maybe play in the next couple of weeks.
Definitely.
The next item on here, Throne of Eldraine spoiler started today. And, you know, we figured there'd just be a few, you know, maybe what, 10, 15 cards?
Yeah.
We were wrong.
No, they...
Oh, it was a lot.
Spoiler alert.
Spoilers for Brawl.
Yeah.
And Throne of Eldraine. Mm-hmm. And all four sets for next year. And...
And I was only allowed to read the titles of these sets.
I know, because I was like, don't read all this stuff we're going to talk about tonight. And you can play the Eldraine Courtside Brawl on Arena as of today. So you can play with some of those new cards as well, which I did for probably an hour before we left to come record tonight. And it's real fun.
Yep.
So
I'm going to be real tired at work tomorrow because I'm playing all night.
Right. You have to get the 6 wins and you get at least sets of cards right now from the new set, but you can't actually craft any of those until the set is actually released on Arena.
Okay.
So, we'll start with the first thing, is the sets for next year. So for spring 2020, it's, Ikoria, Land of Behemoths.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in Mark, they didn't say which Mark, I assume Rosewater.
I also assume that.
He quotes, it's Monster World. You get to play with and make your own monsters, including one of the craziest mechanics they've made in quite a while. So when I read this, it says Ikoria, but I read Kiora, like, yeah. iRobot.
Oh, for sure. Like,
is this all about Kiora? Oh, I don't know how to read.
You,
reading the word again.
You know this set is all about Kiora anyways. Wait,
I mean, she did go to grab giant dinosaur. Wouldn't that be great if it was about Kiora and they just maybe spelled it wrong? I mean, they spelled, people call Gideon because they pronounced Kithian wrong. Maybe they're just, this has got to be about Kiora, right?
What's the set called specifically?
Ikoria, Ikoria.
And the slight descriptor that comes right after that?
Lair of Behemoth. She's a Behemoth Beckoner.
The Behemoth,
right?
Beckoner, Kiora, that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, this set's definitely not about Kiora at all.
It has to be.
No, yeah, it has to be.
So that spring of 2020, we know nothing about it other than that. Core 20 is summer of next year.
What's it? Core 20? What's core?
Or core 21.
21?
Core 21.
Yes.
And it's not, yeah, because it's a year. Obviously, it's a year in advance because we just did core 20. So next year it is, they don't have a ton of details, but they said, expect to see Teferi make an appearance.
I hate Teferi.
I like Teferi a lot, but I feel like core sets might focus now on a commander because a lot of people like story, and this year is Chandra, and maybe they're going to do something similar with the Teferi, like maybe three of them.
They'll do Teferi in different ages, but since he's a time mage, it'll be like all the same age.
Well, they have cards of him as a kid.
Do they?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know these cards.
There's something about a student. It's a mono blue card. He's like sitting at a desk. He's not a planeswalker though on those cards. It was
right.
pre Planeswalkers. So it just references, but you know, we'll see what happens, but that's as much as we know.
Okay.
Next year in the fall is Zendikar Rising. It says with the threat of the Eldrazi gone from the plains, Zendikar Rising is all about adventure. So it's kind of going back to what we saw on original Zendikar and Worldwake before they ruined it with Rising Eldrazi.
I mean, I do,
but I just think they're overdone. And as soon as they came out with the new ones, it was too many decks were like, we want to play big things. Oh, let's throw Eldrazi on. And it's like, no, we'll pick something different. So we'll see what happens here. But I saw Saffron Olive tweeted today that this has got to be where they're going to sell more fetches.
Yeah, I hope so. It's about time they see a real reprint.
A real reprint. And they actually would get into people's hands, folks that are now getting into the game, where the game is seeing a huge surge of new players. They'll be able to actually get into formats that need mana bases like that, like Modern. And then depending on Historic, which we'll touch on as well.
Yeah.
Cause that came out last week. We heard more about that. They'll likely be a key player in that as well.
Definitely.
And then winter next year is Theros Beyond Death. It says that we're going back to the legendary world of gods, heroes, and monsters. And this time we're going to the underworld.
Yeah.
So this will be exciting. So, incoming Elspeth, white, black.
Yeah, I mean there was speculation.
We already have the masterpiece, the mythic edition.
Yes.
Cura or Elspeth.
Elspeth with her mask.
Yeah. And when you come back from the dead, you put on a mask.
Mm-hmm.
Daxos the Returned came back.
Yeah.
And has the mask now.
Yeah.
And so she's like holding it. So I don't know if she's going to come back with it or if it's just going to be her down there or what the plan is.
You know, people had that question, like, well, Elspeth's probably going to come back, but how is she going to come back? I'm pretty sure, confirmed, we're going to the underworld. Maybe she's not coming back, but we're seeing her.
Yeah, she might not come back, but that's exciting. And then this might give us the enchantment lands. I would like to see that because we have artifact lands. I'd be happy to see an enchantment land to push the enchantment theme.
That would be interesting.
It would. I think last time I remember reading an article that it was just something they were afraid it was going to break it, or maybe because artifact lands broke. But there isn't as much enchantment support as there is for artifacts.
That's true. So I'm just thinking of all
to at least make it viable.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of all the cards that say when an enchantment comes into play, draw a card.
Sure.
And now it's on a land.
Ban them.
Yes.
But at least you can play them then in Commander.
True.
You can at least try it out because maybe it's not that good.
Maybe.
I mean, those lands get destroyed when you destroy enchant. I mean, Bane of Progress is going to wreck your deck. But I guess it wrecks artifact decks as well. So, I mean, you can't really argue that one. But I'm just saying it'd be nice to have more enchantment support because I don't feel that it gets the love that artifacts do. But maybe we'll see it here. Or maybe just one legendary enchantment land.
It would be cool. It would be different.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fun.
Because we haven't seen it yet. And I like when we haven't seen things.
Yep.
So those are the four sets we're talking about, or that we're going to see next year. Arena. So Eldraine Courtside Brawl is now live. It's great. You can play with the four pre-con Brawl decks from September 4th through the 9th, so you can't play with them for long. It's going to make me play a lot more Arena as soon as Brawl hits it.
Yep.
Like officially. And there was a Q&A confirmed today that it will happen in the October update, but they don't know when. So they said Brawl will be live sometime in October when they do the update. And someone else also asked if the Brawl decks you can buy in paper would come with a code so you could redeem those decks on Arena similar to the Planeswalker decks.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Oh,
I know.
That's super sad.
I know. So...
Oh. Because you got spend your money on both, I guess.
I mean, you can at least craft the card you need.
True.
For Brawl.
Mm-hmm.
But it would have been really nice if you could have gotten a code to get them twice. I mean, it's we don't know the price point. To be fair, I don't think we know the price point yet. I haven't looked. I guess I haven't looked for it, but I don't think we know. But I would assume they're probably going to be like $30.
I
don't know if they're going to be as much as a regular Commander deck. They don't have as many cards.
They won't be that
much.
But
they will have cards that are going to be chase cards for the regular Commander set and not just Brawl.
They sure do.
Because we have seen the four face Brawl Commanders now, and they are fun.
Already brewing.
Already. So, I did play some of this, like I said.
Right.
And so, seeing it on Arena is actually really nice. So the commander itself has like a little aura around it. So you see your hand at the bottom of the screen, and then off to the right, you see your commander that kind of has like this like sparkly white and blue outline. Mm-hmm. So it like makes it look like it's something different.
Right.
And the cost of the card already incrementally increases if you have the commander tax. So, is it Alana? Alina? The fairy.
The fairy.
So she costs one and then Esper. So black, white, and blue. And after she had died one time, mm-hmm. it came back and was three. Okay. Black, white, blue. So mm-hmm. it was nice to see it. And I didn't have to think about the cost of that commander for the next time that I played it, because it was automatically included. So those four are, okay, it's Alila, Artful Provocateur, mm-hmm. A 2/3 legendary fairy warlock, new creature type warlock,
yep.
Flying death touch lifelink, other creatures you control flying get +1/+0, and whenever you cast an artifact or enchantment, create a 1/1 blue fairy creature token with flying. The precon is really fun. The next one is Chulainn, Teller of Tales. We don't have to go over that one. That was spoiled a while ago, but yep. that is a Bant card. The next one is Korvold, Fey Cursed King,
mm-hmm.
a dragon noble, another new creature type noble.
This one's my favorite for regular commander right now.
Yeah. Two and then black, red, green for a 4/4 flying dragon noble that has whenever Korvold, Fey Cursed King enters the battlefield or attacks, you have to sacrifice another permanent. Whenever you sacrifice a permanent, put a +1/+1 counter on Korvold and draw a card. You're drawing cards.
You get to draw cards.
You get to draw cards.
Pump your commander, and he's a dragon.
What if you go to combat and they destroy all your creatures?
Sack except, a land.
Oh, no.
Sack the land.
No. You don't have a choice. You don't have a choice.
It says sacrifice a permanent. Oh, you could sacrifice
why
him.
Why would you?
You could sacrifice him to himself.
But if you had another creature, you would sacrifice a land over another creature?
No, I thought that you were saying if all of your other creatures got destroyed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Then
oh,
you sack a land. You do it.
And then the last one is Sir Gwen, House of Ashvale, 3, and then it's red, white, and black for a human knight.
Hero of Ashvale.
What did I say, knight?
House of Ashvale.
House, sorry, Game of Thrones ended.
Yep.
Hero of Ashvale. Human Knight, Vigilance and Menace. Whenever an equipped creature you control attacks, you draw a card and lose a life. Equipment you control have Equip Knight 0. So you can equip to all your knights for free.
Mm-hmm.
It's really great. And it's in the right colors for equipment. You've got red and white there. Too bad all of Stoneforge Mystic just became unbanned because everybody bought all the good equipment
yep.
to go brewing for modern decks.
Yeah.
So if you have your swords and stuff, great. Not that I think you have to play swords. You can play other things because it's equipped for 0. So there's things better than swords.
For sure.
Like the new giant hammer, which I forget what it's called.
It's called Colossus Hammer. There's only one way to make sure it's really dead. Best flavor text ever.
It makes your commander a 15/15.
And he already has Vigilance and Menace.
And equip for 0.
Uh-huh.
Instead of equip for 8.
That's pretty good.
It is in the pre-con, and I got smacked by it earlier today. I did have to bounce that commander afterwards,
yeah.
and then I didn't get smacked again. I got lucky, but it's really cool. It's
yeah.
a really nice idea. And I think you had mentioned earlier that these Brawl commanders were made by the folks who won the design competition.
Yes, I did read an article that talked about that. I know at least two of them were designed by the competition winners. And they went into some of the specifics about how they were balancing the decks and how they had to put some top end in. There was talk about how the decks didn't have finishers, so they had to print some of these finisher cards to put in them. Super high mana stuff. Maybe stuff that won't be played in super competitive commander games, but in some of the more casual stuff, like just nuts cards for you.
Nice. It just makes me think about, because the design competition made me think about the disputes over people who were in that competition trying to figure out what color a creature with flying and vigilant should have. And it was, I believe it was supposed to be green, black. I honestly don't remember anymore, but people were so mad over this because they're like, I got one question wrong and I didn't move on because I think this is crazy. So this was about a year ago and people had to, finally ask Mark Rosewater. They're like, why is there an issue? And I just remember his post and I just pulled it up. It says, to everyone discussing the flying vigilance question, my thread, here's my last thought as I have to do other things. If I give a constraint to my design team, I'm not looking for them to dismiss it, but to see if they can find a card in the past that didn't follow it. And I just, at least we get to see what these design folks that won and understand, mm-hmm. I guess, the design of Magic came up with. And people are already really excited to play these cards.
Definitely.
So, we decided that instead of going over every single card that was spoiled, we're just going to quickly pick like two or three cards for each of us. So yes. Standout cards for the set, pick one. What do you like? What have you seen that came out today?
Yes. Sorry. I am looking it up right now. Where did I save these cards? Okay. The first one, that I picked out is, a two mana enchantment aura called All That Glitters.
All that glitters is gold.
It is definitely a shooting star for my deck. It's one and a white enchant creature. Enchanted creature gets +1/+1 for each artifact and or enchantment you control. We've seen the auras that get +1/+1 for each aura you control. And then we've seen artifacts to give +1/+1 for each artifact you control. This does both. This is going in my SRAM deck. I'm rebuilding my SRAM deck. All the swords went up in price. I ain't selling. I'm rebuilding that deck. This card's going in. I really love it.
Nice. We see there was a new Fairy Rogue spoil today. Rankle, Master of Pranks. 2BB for a 3/3 Fairy Rogue legendary that has flying and haste. Whenever Rankle, Master of Pranks, deals combat damage to a player, choose any number of the below.
No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that.
It just says choose any number, which is very confusing because I just want to pick like 10.
Yeah.
But then it just gives you three options. Yeah. So I think there's going to be a lot of questions about this card, but it's clearly supposed to be choose any number of the below effects. Each player discards a card. Each player loses one life and mm-hmm. draws a card, or each player sacrifices a creature. So it seems really fun. Something that we haven't seen before. We haven't seen these types of items like on a creature dealing damage.
Right.
So it's pretty cool that you have three, your commander can be built, I guess, three different ways. You can build it as a discard commander. You can build mm-hmm. it as a sacrifice commander that cares mm-hmm. about that, or one that cares about life loss and just drawing. I mean, really, you'll probably build around all three a little bit, but I think it gives you a lot of different design options
yeah.
for your own commander deck.
Well, and he's a hasty flyer too, which I really like, which the last time I've seen a hasty flyer as a commander was Skitherix, the Blight Dragon.
Sure.
So just kill people with him. Cast Hatred, win the game. So the next card that I picked out was Smitten Swordmaster. It's one of the new adventure cards that they printed. And if you don't know about the adventure ruling, adventure says, according to Mark Rosewater, we haven't actually seen the official text ruling for it.
Well, you can play it on Arena now.
That's true. So we know how the rule
works. We know how it works.
So it has two sides of the card. One of them is a creature. One of them is a non-creature.
It's like the story.
Right. So the story is the adventure, and if you cast it for the adventure, then you exile the card, and then you can cast the creature from exile. You can't do vice versa. You can cast the creature from your hand, but then you won't be able to cast the story, the adventure.
And I also believe that the option to cast the creature from exile requires that you have cast the
adventure.
The
first.
Adventure piece. So if for some reason someone exiled it from your hand, you wouldn't be able to just cast that creature now because they didn't tell their story.
As Maro said, you have to send them on an adventure before you can return them from the adventure.
Right.
So this card, its adventure is Curry Favor for a black. You gain X life and each opponent loses X life, where X is the number of knights you control. And the creature is one and a black for a 2/1 lifelink human knight. And I really like this because I'm going to try to find a degenerate way to keep bouncing it to my hand and keep casting the curry favor over and over again and kill everybody with it.
With a bunch of nights out?
And you need one night out to make it work, as long as you can do it infinite amount of times. But yeah.
Sure. I also chose one of the new split cards, a storybook card, Flaxen Intruder. So it's the Goldilocks card.
Ooh, I like that.
So one green, you can cast a 1/2 human berserker. or you can cast it for its story called Welcome Home for 5 green, and you create 3/2 bears. So this goes in the bear commander deck. You can make bears, but also it's true. Goldilocks and the 3 bears. And then you can also cast the creature later from exile. I guess you can cast creature right away as well if you wanted. Whenever Flaxen Intruder deals combat damage to a player, you may sacrifice it. When you do, destroy an artifact or an enchantment. It's got lots of potential there.
Just like Goldilocks broke the family bonds between the mom, the dad, and the baby.
Didn't she break like a chair or something like that? If I remember, doesn't she like sit and stuff and she like breaks the chair? This chair is too big.
Just going into people's homes and eating their food and sleeping in their bed. Like the rudest you could do.
She's the rudest little girl.
And now we know she's a berserker.
And she's holding a bloody like axe.
Yeah, this is some grim fairy tale.
And she's holding a bear, she's holding a bear trap, standing on a bearskin rug. She's a legit monster.
Yeah.
Parading around as a cute little girl.
Uh-huh. It's pretty terrible.
So I was really excited because this is the storybook set. Fairy tale set.
Yes.
So it's got lots of them. And also, if you haven't seen, before you go over that, if you haven't seen the promo for this set, it's really good and you should go watch it. But also, Amazonian on Twitter posted it dubbed over with the Smash Mouth song from Shrek, and it works out perfectly because it feels like you're watching a scene from Shrek.
Yes.
What other card do you have?
My last card I have is another mono black card because, you know, mono black's the best. His name is a legendary creature human knight called Sir Conrad the Grim.
Is it Sir? Because
Sir Conrad, Sir with a Sir? Y.
Seer? Is he holding a crystal ball? What's he holding? Maybe it is Seer.
I think it's a jack-o'-lantern. I think this is supposed to be our Ichabod Crane character.
Oh, I didn't see that, but that now does look like a jack-o'-lantern, or at least a skull that's lit up.
Yeah. What do you think, producer Ryan? Is this Ichabod Crane?
Is that a skull?
Is this the headless horseman, but with a head?
He's got his head now.
He's a headed horseman.
Maybe there's
horseman.
A card that's going to tell us his story later and he won't have a head.
That would be awesome.
Wouldn't it?
As long as it's also mono
black. Yeah, that thing. That's like a lit up skull or like a jack-o'-lantern. It definitely looks like a skull.
I think skull, yeah.
A skull, yeah.
So he says whenever another creature dies or a creature card is put into
this slowly. There's 3 different ways that someone could lose. I'm going to have to read this card so many times if someone makes this as a commander.
I'm going to make this as a commander.
Okay, we're going to need to read it like 9 times.
Yeah.
Okay, read this slowly.
So whenever my grave crawler dies... No, whenever another creature dies or a creature card is put into a graveyard from anywhere other than the battlefield or a creature card leaves your graveyard, Sir Conrad the Grim deals 1 damage to each opponent.
Okay.
And then you can pay 1 and a black, and each player puts the top card of their library into their graveyard. And he's a 5/4.
For 5, yeah. That's not
3 black.
It's not bad. So when a creature dies, a creature is put into a graveyard not from the battlefield. So really, milling or discard.
Yeah, buried alive,
or
3 damage.
Or processing from exile.
Absolutely.
So that matters. Or...
Or leaves the graveyard.
Or leaves the graveyard. You deal 1 damage from your graveyard.
From my graveyard.
From yours.
From mine.
Sir Conrad the Grim deals 1 damage to each opponent. I think it's great. I love it.
I'm building this. I need more money. If someone could send me money to my PayPal so I can build all these decks, that'd be great.
Right. Okay, I have one more. Bacon to pie. Because food is a thing now.
Food's a thing.
You destroy a target creature. Create a food.
You create a food.
Create a food token.
I still am upset that food is an artifact.
Yeah, me too, but what are you gonna do?
I know.
I don't know how they could have done it otherwise. It would have been a new token type.
Brand new token type. That's fine with me. I like new things. You like new things.
I do, but it just reminds me of Sweeney Todd.
Yes.
Oh, like a pie. She's gonna bake you into a pie. People. There's a hand coming out of the pie.
Yeah, it's
a giant pie, and they're definitely only holding it with 2 hands. So maybe it's just your hand. I don't think there's a full body in this pie, unless that's just a perspective and that guy is this man is super strong holding an entire body pie.
That's true.
But
well, you know, when you cook, you do that thing called reducing. Maybe that's what
they reduced
did.
Your body so much. Yes. That all the water cooked out and they just, until you made like a stew-like pie. Gross. I don't really like savory pie. I would like pumpkin pie or apple pie. I don't want this pie that this guy made.
It is going to be that kind of season here soon. The fall pie season.
Pumpkin spice lattes are back at Starbucks, but those are gross. I get peppermint mochas year-round, folks.
I only drink black coffee because I'm basic.
I'm basic with my peppermint mochas year-round. The only thing that I can't get on them is my chocolate shavings, and they just do the syrup across the top. You can't get chocolate shavings unless it's Christmas time.
It's one of my favorite things, going to Starbucks with Andy, and I go in and spend $2, and he walks out with a $12 coffee.
No, I got two drinks today because I was picking one up for producer Ryan.
That's true.
Cappuccino for producer Ryan. It was like $8 though, because I got a drink, but I got a cappuccino. And he's like, I'll get a tall black coffee. Gross.
Oh, it's so good.
Gotta put at least a ton of cream and a ton of sugar in it.
The only thing I ever add to my black coffee
is an ice cube.
Not disgusting. Try it before you.
I feel like this is going to be gross if you have to defend this so hard before you tell us what it is.
Tequila.
In your coffee.
Oh, it's so good.
Tequila's
seriously
not good.
Just
as
try
a shot
it.
Or in, okay, I'll drink it in margaritas.
Just try it before you knock it. That's all I ask.
All right, next time we're over for Commander, you can make me a coffee tequila and I'll tell you whether or not I like it.
You'll hate it because it's black coffee.
And tequila. But sometimes you add things together and they're not so bad.
Right.
Like that one drink that you make and it tastes not like it at all. It's like a little shot and it tastes like...
Chocolate cake shots?
Yes, but what is it?
Lemon vodka. And Frangelico liqueur, which is a hazelnut liqueur.
And it tastes like chocolate cake?
It tastes like hazelnut, but people just associate hazelnut with chocolate because they don't know what real Nutella tastes like. Yeah,
well,
I went there.
Real Nutella is hazelnut.
Right. But everyone knows it as it is chocolate.
But who eats Nutella?
A lot of people.
Okay. Also, those little truffles that you can buy, they're like wrapped in foil and they have a little paper cup on the inside. Not lint.
I know what you're talking about, but it's not.
They're made with Nutella. And when you look at the front of the box, it actually says Nutella because they were trying to recreate it on a show I was watching. And when they read the box, they were like, it literally says Nutella. And then when you look at it and do it further, it's the same company that owns Nutella as well. So those things are so good. If you know the title of that candy or the brand, let me know, because I'm sure people are probably.
Yeah.
Oh. They're like, Andy, how are you not remembering this?
That does remind me. Someone posted something about Oko, the new Planeswalker.
Eating food.
So they said, Oko, how do you stay in shape eating all the food that you are? And Oko responds, well, first, you just be a shapeshifter.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it. You win.
And then the last part of spoilers, I guess it's not really a spoiler, but the Wildered Quest, the ebook on Throne of Eldraine is out today, so you can buy that and download that and read that.
I might actually do that.
I think I will as well, but I also need to catch up on the story. Actually, next week would probably be a good opportunity for us to do story time and catch up on all the prequel from Ravnica, because those are still coming out. I've got like 14 unread emails because...
I heard another one came out today.
Yeah. Well, I'm done with story chapter one.
Okay.
I have 2 through like 14 I have to get through now, 2 through 15. Mm-hmm. But this is out and I think it's like 250 pages or something like that. So it's a good amount. It's a good length. So you can download that today now. We have a new segment.
We do.
So we're going to call it Commander Decks Explained Badly.
Sure.
So we each picked a couple of commanders, and we are going to try to get each other to guess the commander by explaining it in a way that is not obvious to what it does, or in a funny way. But this one is funny, but also what this one does. So I'm going to start with the first one.
Okay.
Okay. So if I were to say this, which commander would you guess? Oops, made a vampire.
Edgar Markov. Just keeping it in the family.
Uh-huh.
I like that one. That's good. Okay. No pain, no gain. And vice versa.
No pain, no gain, and vice versa. So if you gain life, you hurt someone. Or if you hurt someone, you gain life. So it's like, it's the exquisite blood and... No, I mean, that's what those do, right? I guess it's not infinite. It's not infinite. It's on a commander.
It's not black.
No pain, no gain, and vice versa. What? Okay, I need a clue now.
It is Boros.
I have no idea.
It was a box topper. Not a box topper.
Oh.
Buy a box promo.
Fire Song and Sunspeaker.
You got it.
Okay,
yeah.
That was good. That was good. Okay. So this one is, okay, so we're gonna talk about like two movies here. If you've seen these movies, you've seen this commander deck.
Okay.
So picture The Hobbit and The Fast and the Furious.
The Hobbit?
Meets The Fast and the Furious.
So super fast. Hobbits. Oh, this is oh, what's her name? The dwarf vehicle Boros commander.
D'Pala. Yes. Pilot exemplar.
Yes, D'Pala.
That's the next budget commander I'm making.
That's fun.
It seems really fun.
It's a good vehicle deck.
I know.
Unlike Odric, which was the worst deck I've ever made in my entire life. A
mono white vehicle.
Keyword deck.
Keyword
Odric.
Vomit.
Yeah, it was bad.
It was not good. So I'm going to build that as my next budget, but I felt that was a good way to explain it. Yes. It was a fun way to explain it badly.
It sure was. Okay. A senior citizen beats you with his extensive collection of walking sticks.
Senior citizen.
What if I just said a senior?
A senior.
A senior beats you with his extensive collection of walking sticks.
Walking sticks. Does he make walking sticks?
Extensive collection of sticks.
Sticks.
If I just keep removing words, I think it becomes more clear.
Okay, remove another word.
I can't anymore. A senior beats you with his extensive collection of weapons?
Weapons. Does it make weapons?
No.
He
has a collection of them, though. It's a he. I may have talked about him earlier in this podcast.
Okay, give me colors.
What if he was a senior tactician? He's white.
Yeah. Odric, master tactician.
No. SRAM.
Oh, wait. What is
SRAM? Isn't he a tactician? Maybe I'm misleading you.
I think you...
Hold
no,
on.
Am I just wrong?
SRAM. SRAM, senior edificer. I'm bad at matching
artificer.
Together. Edificer.
Edificer?
With an E.
Oh.
Edificier.
This is great podcast.
God, I'm bad at this.
All right, you have another one, though.
I do have...
So I only had two.
I have two more. One of them I already told you about, but I was really proud of it.
Okay, so well, let's do it. And I mean, I'll know what it is, but I'll give everyone a second to guess.
Okay.
It.
Hippity hoppity, the graveyard is my property.
Okay, so I know what this one is.
Yep. Although I do think there's two correct answers.
Sure. Well, do they both use the hippity hoppity?
I think so.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think Marin
for
does
sure.
it much better.
For sure. The other one being the Gitrog monster, who
sure.
is a frog himself.
Sure.
Yes. But Spore Frog is the hippity hoppity from Marin.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the last one.
The last one. This one you definitely will get.
Well, you say this like Brian said I was definitely going to get some of those celebrities, and I did not.
This is magic related, though.
Yeah, that was also sort of magic.
Brian, I bet you he gets this one. You on?
How much?
He's going to get
this one.
Yeah,
how much are you guys betting? I want to know now how much I am going to lose somebody. A dollar.
But I believe you'll get it.
You do believe
you,
he'll
you
get
believe
it.
I'm going to get it? Okay.
I'm very positive.
Okay.
All right.
I'm stressed out right now.
You're going to get it. Heads, I win. Tails, you lose.
Okay, so Zinder split in Ogun.
Yes.
That was a good one.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no other coin flip commanders that really care. So.
No, there's not. That's why I knew you were going to get
that
it.
That was good.
Plus, you play it. Yeah.
I play that deck. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
Stitch in Time. Fingers crossed I have Kark's thumb out. Yeah, so that was good. I like that.
That was fun.
We're going to have to think of more in the future. This was really hard to think of ways to explain decks badly.
Yeah.
Or just explain them differently. I felt that the two that I did were very, I mean, definitely easy to get. The first one I enjoyed making the most. Oops. Oopsie daisy.
Yeah, when we were first talking about this, I was like, how could I explain Paradox Arcum Dagson badly? Oh, wait, I don't have to do that.
Because it's banned.
It's banned. You can't play that.
I was trying to think of one for like Kaikar, and I was like, Goose honks at things. And then I was like, well, okay, so Goose, and then it kills spirits. I was like, I can't think of any way to explain this badly.
Goose honks inside haunted house.
that would have been a pretty good one, actually, for spirits.
Yeah.
I would have enjoyed that. All right, well, next time we'll do something more like that.
Yeah,
that
was fun.
And if you can think of any, send them our way, and we'll use them in the future. We also like to hear how you guys explain your decks badly.
Yes.
So if you want to contact us, you can find us on Twitter, except Mike.
You can't find me.
You can find me at ATFlory. You can find Brian, who will be back next week. He's on his honeymoon. You may have seen photos from the wedding as well. At BallerManCometh. Also, take a look for hashtag Guardian Project Pod to find our posts and episodes. We'd like to hear from you, so send along your comments and any topics you'd like to talk about, and we can address them on the next episode. You can also email us at GuardianProjectPod@gmail.com. Mike, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
For the last 2 weeks, filling in for Brian.
It's been fun.
I'm sure this is not the last time that we will hear from you.
I hope not.
No.
But not on Twitter. You won't hear from me on Twitter.
We're going to make a Twitter account for him, and we're going to pose as him, and we're going to talk to ourselves.
Perfect.
Perfect. We'll eventually give you the login for it.
Great.
And you start using it. So Brian will be back next week, so we're excited. We'll hear a bit about the wedding, how the honeymoon went, and... I'm sure we'll talk to you soon.
Awesome.
All right. Thanks, everyone. We will talk to you. I will talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
You did it.
We did it.
Was that a long one?
About
6 minutes. It's about as long as last week's. With more personable content.
Oh, my goodness. The personable content.
A little. There was some not magic stuff in there.
I heard it.
Was there?